Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Welcome to the Bucknuts Happy Hour. We're here on Friday, September 16th, just a day before the Buckeyes take on Toledo and the Horseshoe for week three of the college football season. I'm here. This is more happy hour time than we've done the last few weeks. If you're watching live, we've got a nice beverage here that we'll get more to that later. But if you are, if you're at home, if you're somewhere safe and you want to grab a beverage for this happy hour, feel free. We've got a couple guests that are going to join us here to kick things off. The first, I'm sure many of you remember from his time covering Ohio State, Kyle Rowland jumping in. He's now a member of the Toledo beat for the Toledo Blade. And Tim Hall, who joined us last week from the Buckeye Show on 97.1 The Fan. Tim, you must have had such a good time coming to the happy hour last week. You decided to come back. Thanks for doing that. Kyle, thanks for joining us. Hope things are going well in Toledo. How you been?
Good. Happy to see both of you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Timmy, for people who haven't paid attention, Tim has me on Fridays. Usually we titled it the Buckeyes. Was it Beers and Buckeyes, Tim? Is that how we dubbed it?
That's it, man. Thank you for remembering the name of your own segment.
Yeah, I tried it. Well, I drink so much. That's the problem. But yeah, that kind of was the impetus behind doing this. Have a little bit more fun than your generic podcast, but do want to talk some Buckeyes, do want to talk Toledo. Kyle, I wanted to ask you though first, you spent a long time on this Ohio State beat. What's your favorite memory of covering the Buckeyes before we get into Toledo? I didn't prep you for this, so.
Oh, man.
Up the top.
I don't know. I mean, that is a wonderful question. There's so many. It's hard to single out one. A lot of them also aren't appropriate I don't know if you're around for. I mean, the 2011 Gator Bowl trip. It was just like an all-time week of just ridiculousness and shenanigans and a lot of great Steve Hellwagon and Kevin Noon and Jeff Svoboda stories. But yeah, I mean, it's the best beat in the world, man. Just so much fun.
Was that when Jeff was on crutches?
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah.
I've heard some of those stories. Cool. Well, let's get into this game a little bit. You answered some questions for us earlier in the week, and Tim, I'll let you jump in and ask Kyle some questions too. But just overall, this Toledo team, your kind of, 5,000 feet view of this team and what you think they can do this year, what maybe they can do in this game coming to Ohio State.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're a solid team. I think they're probably better than Arkansas State. I don't know if that necessarily, translates to a closer game or anything like that. But I, as I told you, I mean, I think they're an 8-win team. I think they're potentially a 10-win team, depending on how things break, how much the offense gets going. The defense is definitely the strength of the team. The offense isn't bad. It's just hasn't found its footing in the first two games. There is a lot of potential on offense. Perhaps they get some big plays against the Buckeyes on Saturday. But I think it's a team that can push Ohio State for 30 minutes, but 60 minutes, I think, is a big ask.
Yeah, Kyle, that usually seems to be, the struggle for, a MAC opponent or somebody in a Sun Belt conference when they come into the Shoe. It's, some of these teams can hang for a little while, 30 minutes, that covers half the football game, but then you kind of wear down. You mentioned a little bit about both sides of the football for the Rockets right there, but if they are going to somehow stretch that 30 minutes into, say, 45 minutes, like if there was some recipe for them to do that, would it be through their quarterback making plays? Would it be Dallas Gant having a big game on defense? That's an interesting wrinkle to this game. What would it be?
I think it starts with the defense for sure, because they're not going to score with Ohio State. I don't see that happening. It's going to have to be semi-low scoring for Toledo to have a chance. They've got a wonderful defensive line. I mean, I've said it'd be, I think, fourth or fifth best in the Big Ten. Ohio State can still do damage against, a D-line that good, though. But there is depth on that side of the ball. The linebackers are good. You already mentioned Dallas Gant. He's been the leading tackler in each of the first two games for Toledo. So I think it starts with defense, and then it's Daquan Finn, who's a true dual threat quarterback, maybe making some magic with his legs. It's Toledo, maybe it's a turnover or two. I think the most important time when you have a significant underdog or, a MAC Big Ten game is the first quarter. The underdog needs to create some sort of momentum, gain some confidence, whether it's a turnover or like a 7-0 lead, maybe try to silence the crowd a little bit. Because once you have a night game atmosphere where the crowd's really in it, Penn State or Michigan might not get overwhelmed, but I think a Toledo would.
Kyle, let me ask you this. I know that a team like Toledo gets a big paycheck to come into Ohio Stadium.
$1.8 million, in fact.
Yeah. So, but aside from that, from a football perspective, what does a team like Toledo get beneficial? If this goes the way we all assume and Ohio State wins pretty handily, what does this team then take away from this to use in its MAC schedule the rest of the year?
Yeah, that's good. I mean, number one, Toledo, the thing they don't want to have happen is guys get injured in a game like this. I think that's kind of their main goal. I mean, I know like there's the whole pie in the sky, you play to win the game, all that, but stay healthy and keep everyone in one piece is kind of their biggest objective. I don't think you want to get embarrassed for sure. I mean, Ohio State beat Miami, Ohio 76-5 a few years ago. They beat Bowling Green 77-10. You don't want that to happen because I think that can hurt your confidence, even though you're playing the number three team in the country. There's really nothing good that can come out of getting completely dominated. So, I mean, you want the defense, which is their strength, to prove to themselves, hey, we can, you know, slow down a high-powered offense like Ohio State from time to time. And then you want, I guess, Daquan Finn to have some moments here and there. But this game isn't going to be measured as a success or failure by Toledo's coaching staff, you know, based on a win or a loss.
Kyle, you know, one of the things that we did on the show last night and fitting them in the Brown studio here at work at the station right now, but they played that 09 game in the Cleveland Browns stadium. Mm-hmm. And we had gotten to talking about how Toledo, you know, maybe more so than the other MAC programs, seems to hang with their bigger opponents on the schedule, maybe more than the rest of them. Like, they are very competitive. They easily could have beaten Notre Dame last year. And it's funny, when we were looking at that 09 game, one of the things in the write-up was, hey, this was a Toledo team that just beat Michigan the year before. If people mm-hmm. remember that, where Michigan kind of had their down tick and Toledo is beating them. So that's saying a lot, really is. What do you think it is about the program? I mean, they've got some NFL dudes that we know of. I mean, Bruce Gretkowski with, you know, 87 touchdown passes in 3 years. Kareem Hunt comes through there with Deontay Johnson just recently. So they've got dudes that people are very familiar with that are in the league right now.
Yeah, I mean, they had 2 draft picks last year. They'll have more than that next year. Most of them on that defense that we've talked about some. I mean, it's a proud program. They've got a rich tradition. They're kind of one of the gold standard MAC programs, I guess you could say. Nick Saban came through there. Gary Pinkel is going in the College Football Hall of Fame this year. He was a great coach. Matt Campbell, obviously at Iowa State now, he did a good job at Toledo. And Jason Candle has also, done a fine job. They've underachieved the last couple of years. But I think that's the thing that's most interesting about Toledo is it's been different coaches. It's not like they just had some legendary guy who won these games. I mean, in the last 20 years, they've beaten Penn State. They've beaten Michigan. They've beaten Arkansas, Iowa State, Purdue, Minnesota. In 2011, they probably should have beat Ohio State. Last year against Notre Dame, they had a great game. So they have talented rosters. And I think if you're talented enough, you can, if things break your way, you never know. I think one of the things that helps Ohio State Saturday, not that they need help and they probably would win regardless, but if it were a noon game, and the crowd would be a little sleepier and maybe the players wouldn't be as amped for a Saturday game, that might play in Toledo's favor. But I do think the night game factor kind of plays to Ohio State.
On the network, that's interesting too. Network for the first time ever, but over 118 national TV games. I mean, you get national TV games all year with the Maction package on ESPN with everybody just doing Tuesdays and Wednesdays.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they're used to this type of thing. So we'll see. But you got the chip on the shoulder factor too with in-state guys at Toledo wish or think they should have been recruited by Ohio State. So it's definitely a storyline type game.
I wanted to ask you both, and if those people that are tuning in live, if you have questions for Kyle regarding Toledo, feel free to throw them in the comments. We'll get to some of the Ohio State questions. I saw some of those come in once Kyle's done here. But this being a night game, just how surprising was that to both of you? I mean, when I saw that come out, it was like, with the Toledo game, that's going to be one of Ohio State's night games. Now they'll play 3 out of 4 to start the season at night. But this just is a weird one to me to throw it on Fox at night. I mean, I don't know. I was shocked that this was a night game. What'd you guys make of it?
Yeah, I was surprised. I will say, I mean, once they played Akron at night last year, I guess it just kind of seemed, I mean, there's so many night games now, you never really know. But definitely was surprised. I mean, Toledo is very happy about it. I mean, they are appearing on network television for the first time ever. They are going to have, I mean, 4.5-5 million people are going to watch this game. They'll get eyeballs. So for them, it's a big win. As a football program, as an institution, things like that, their commercial is going to be, you know, played during the broadcast and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I mean, Ohio State Toledo on Fox National just doesn't seem like your normal, you know, night game.
Yeah, I got to agree with both of you. It was a little surprising because you knew that, I mean, obviously we knew Notre Dame was always going to be a primetime season opener. And we've known about this Toledo game being a primetime game for a while now. What did they announce this back in May? So this wasn't one of those where, you know, they walked it, you know, 2 weeks before kickoff and then said, hey, guess what? And you're like, oh, my God, really? Like we found out with Wisconsin. I think that might even be even more surprising is knowing that we had this one as a primetime game. And then they said, how about two in a row? But, you know, I know there's some purists out there. I know there's a lot of people, and myself included, that really just love the noon kickoff. There's just something crisp and cool about college football under the sunshine as the season starts to turn. There's just something beautiful about that. But obviously night games, they get revved up. And Kyle, like everything you're saying, this is great for Toledo. It's definitely great for the game in general. It's having it be two Ohio schools, Toledo being one of the better MAC programs that we've established, gives a little extra juice to the game. I don't think it's going to matter in the end game with the result, but it does something for it. But yeah, maybe Pat equally surprised that they just said, you know, Wisconsin would be a primetime game because Toledo had already been a primetime game. Now, what else? You know, I think Penn State we knew probably couldn't because the World Series being right around when that is for Fox. So we were looking for other games to throw the Buckeyes under the lights. So here we are. We know they're going to do that as much as they can with OSU.
Yeah, well, and it's great for fans. I know fans love night games. Not great for us. You know, Kyle, I assume you'll be there. We're working in the press box late. Tim, you've got the post-game show with Beam. You know, that means a late night for those of us who are working. But, yeah, I think you're right that it will help rev up the fans. We got a question here, Kyle. Toledo, top four defense. Explain how that has happened. Obviously, the opponents haven't been anyone to write home about, but you talked about the D-line earlier. Just why is – maybe this doesn't end up being a top four defense, but why is this defense as good as maybe advertised?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it will end up a top four defense. That'd be something else. I mean, part of it is obviously the opponents, but this wasn't like some unexpected thing. I mean, there was a lot of hype around Toledo's defense entering the season. They've been top 35 nationally the last couple of years, though I think they'll be top 20 by the end of the season. Deswan Johnson, defensive lineman, he's a guy who just kind of eats ball carriers and quarterbacks. He's got 4.5 tackles for loss the first two games. I think he had 14.5 tackles for loss last year. So he's probably their best NFL prospect. Judge Culpepper, Penn State transfer, is another one of those D linemen. Edge rusher is Jamal Hines. I mean, those three guys are really good. And then Dallas Gant, someone we've talked about already, a linebacker. Deontay Johnson is another linebacker. And the pass defense has been just outstanding so far. Part of that is because the quarterbacks they've played have been just horrendous. But they've still taken care of business, and it is a solid unit. But Vince Karras is the defensive coordinator. He's the son of Larry Karras, the longtime Mount Union coach. Mm-hmm. And then Vince was actually the head coach there for, I want to say, like 5 or 6 years, and, you know, had ambitions to go beyond that. And he's going to be a Big Ten defensive coordinator, I think, pretty soon. I mean, he's the real deal. I mean, Toledo's defense was just awful. I mean, one of the worst in the country for the last few years prior to him taking over in 2020. And he just flipped it, you know, the snap of a finger. So I think he has a very bright future ahead of him.
Certainly interesting to see, you know, the challenge that is the Ohio State offense, which really kind of got cooking last week, especially the passing game. And they could get back Jaxon Smith-Njigba this week. I would actually be surprised if we don't see Jaxon Smith-Njigba as long as the warm-up goes well. But yeah, certainly a test, I would imagine, to go into the horseshoe and kind of see what you can do against an offense like this. Is that kind of how they're viewing it?
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of my story today. I assume it's up on our website now. I mean, I talked to Vince Karras the other day and just said, you know, like, what do you think when you watch Ohio State game film? And he was like, I get a stomach ache. I get agitated. It's just not fun. But I mean, I think he's got, you know, maybe the biggest challenge in all of college football this weekend is just trying to find a game plan to slow them down. I mean, and you can play as good as you think. I mean, Toledo's defense could play great for the first, you know, 24 minutes or whatever. And it's 10-7 late in the first half. And it's like, oh man, like we could be in this game. And then all of a sudden it's 24-7 at halftime. I mean, Ohio State, it just does not take that offense long to get cooking. I mean, there can be three play drives, four play drives at the snap of a finger. So major, major challenge. It's something they've embraced. The players are excited. If you're a high level athlete, and yeah, maybe Toledo's players weren't as highly rated as Ohio State, or they might not be as good as Ohio State, but they're not going in thinking, we don't have a chance. You know, we can't do this. You always believe in yourself. So, it's definitely something they're excited about.
Tim, you got anything else for Kyle?
Yeah, Kyle, I'm just wondering, you know, I know you pay attention to that team up north a little bit more with the new gig. We seem to all try to want to wrap our heads around who these two teams are by week one, you know? Like, they're never going to play each other until the last game of the regular season, but we're constantly trying to dissect this and figure out what we got. And, you know, Ohio State beat Notre Dame, but then Notre Dame lost to Marshall, so that win's not as great. But look at the opponents that Michigan has played, maybe the two worst teams in FBS. But you pay attention maybe a little bit closer. You watch the games or go back and rewatch them. What do you see? Like, how do you stack up the two teams so far?
Yeah, well, I mean, before the season, I thought Ohio State won the national title. I mean, I still think that. I mean, yeah, maybe offensively they haven't been as impressive as I thought they would be. Or against Notre Dame, they haven't been. I mean, it's early in the season. You just know at some point Ohio State's offense is going to click. That said, I mean, I do think Michigan's offense is going to be pretty solid this year. I mean, J.J. McCarthy is clearly the option there. I think he's way better than Cade McNamara. Yeah, but the defense, I think Michigan's defense, I mean, it's not going to be what they had last year. But the schedule, I mean, that's kind of the story of Michigan. I mean, if you look at it, I thought Iowa was going to be a really hard game for them at Iowa. I mean, my goodness, no way. I mean, I think they're going to probably be undefeated coming to the Ohio State game. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I don't see a whole lot of losses on that schedule. I mean, inevitably, yeah, maybe, you know, someone will probably come up and surprise them, and that may happen to Ohio State even. But it's a collision course once again, as it seems like it's been for about 10 years now. And it's so fun when you get to that Saturday in November.
You just mentioned it there a little bit, and you mentioned it. If you haven't read it, Kyle answered some questions for us on Bucknuts. You can go read his answers. That story went out just a little while ago, but you mentioned it both times. You think this is the best team in the country, this Ohio State team. You obviously talked about the offense, but just overall, from your kind of outside view of not in it every day, what makes you say that when there's Georgia's out there, Alabama obviously got the win last week, but, you know, why Ohio State in your mind is the favorite for the national title?
Yeah, I mean, certainly it starts with the offense. I mean, I just think the skill positions, I mean, it's unreal. I mean, you've got CJ Stroud, who's, you know, as good as any quarterback. You lost so much at wide receiver, and it didn't even matter. I mean, it just blows my mind how much talent there is in that wide receivers room. And then everyone knows Travion Henderson seems to be like the next great Ohio State running back. But Mayan Williams, I mean, is really good as well. So it seems like they're going to be fresh late in games at that position, which is a huge advantage, especially when you're in the Big Ten in November. The offensive line, I don't know if it's been outstanding so far, but I think it's good enough. Yeah. And then defensively, I'm tempered a little bit on Ohio State's defense. I don't think it's like the top 10 unit people think it might be. But it's going to be better. I mean, there's just no way it's not going to happen. I mean, Jim Knowles is competent. It seems like they've got people playing in the right positions. They've got the right scheme, stuff like that. So I don't know, add it all up. And I think they're the best team in the country. I mean, I'm just a big believer in Ryan Day. I think he's a brilliant mind and he's going to find a way.
Well, Kyle, I'll get you out of here on this one. And I think this is great from Ed Rogers. Why is there always road construction? every year we drive through there on the way up to either Michigan or Michigan State. Without fail, road construction. What can you do to fix the road construction in Toledo for us?
That's a great question. I mean, I feel like we say this about every city in Ohio.
It's true.
And I'm going to guess.
What about Columbus? Yeah. God. Dayton. Ever since I moved here a decade ago, it's been nonstop. Oh, let's hit the New Albany Interstate. Let's hit the Hilliard-Rome I-70 West Interstates. Let's blow up North High Street and 315 on 270. Now we're doing the Nationwide Children's Area near downtown. Let's build a new ramp there. I-71 South, 315 South, right by downtown in the Brewery.
Yeah, we're talking about hell.
Absolute hell.
I think it's Ohio thing. I think it's a Midwest thing. Yeah. I know this guy is just kidding around. Well, he's being partially serious, but I mean, isn't it all because the weather? I mean, you just have bad winters, you have bad roads. I just think that's kind of what it adds up to.
Yeah, I think it's more about, like, at least in Columbus, I think the expansion caught up to us. Yeah. Where it's become such a, you know, high quality place to live where people move in. And the roads, I think they've seen, like, the highways. We didn't build enough lanes or these on-ramps, off-ramps. Everyone, once you start getting, like, I would see this in Northern Virginia growing up, of, like, the Springfield-Franconia exit, where it was one of, like, the southernmost metro spots, and they would call it the mixing bowl. You just have these ramps that were 75 feet high up in the air. You know, it would take a mile to get off on, like, an I-95 north ramp or an exit ramp. We're doing a lot of those now. You're seeing these ramps get taller and taller. They're terrifying if you're afraid of heights.
Like, Tim, I think you have a future at ODOT.
Yeah.
This is officially the largest tangent in the short life of this podcast. So I'm glad you guys were both here for it. Kyle, thanks a bunch for doing this. I know you're in demand, having connected with both the Ohio State beat and the Toledo beat right this week. So I appreciate you taking the time. You'll be here tomorrow, right? You coming down?
I will be there. I will see you in the press box.
Are you bringing Briggs?
He will be there as well.
Good. I look forward to it.
Did you play golf today, Kyle? You're wearing golf clothes.
Like I did. I did.
How'd it go?
It went very well. Very well.
Ooh. Care to elaborate?
I mean, I will, but I just – the people watching this are just going to be like, oh, this guy's bragging about it. I shot a 74 today, which is the lowest I've shot in a couple of years. So it was
– Whoa. It was good. All right. All right.
It's a football podcast, but it's also happy hour, so you can brag a little bit. That's fine. Thanks again, Kyle.
It's fine.
We'll see you there tomorrow. I do really appreciate it. You were a big help this week.
Absolutely. Right. Fun time, guys. See you later.
Talk to you soon.
See you, buddy.
All right, Timmy. That was awesome having Kyle on. He's always been great. He was great when he was here with 11 Warriors and some of the other beats he did here, and I appreciate him helping us out this week. Tim, how much time you got? I know you're a busy man too.
I got like 10 minutes for you, right, Pat. And then I got some stuff to do.
We can hit on some things.
Who knows, maybe I want to go and sneak in 9 holes before the show starts. I mean, you don't know what's going on.
If you can get out and golf, I'm all for it. That's a big thing in your life. I am no golfer. Never have been, never will be. Been out there one time for a bachelor party. Didn't go well. I don't care to do it. Another question from Ed Rogers. We'll hit on a couple questions while you're still here, Tim. Top 4 receivers in order. I assume this means when everyone's healthy. And this also hits on Sue's question about Julian and Jackson Smith and Jigba still game time decisions. Yeah, I think that's probably the case with those two. From everything I've heard this week, I would be surprised, as I said earlier, if they don't play just to kind of get them ready. But especially with Jackson, given that it's a hamstring issue, which is something that can certainly linger, if he goes out there to warm up and feels anything, I don't think they'll mess with it. But if he feels good to go, I think they'd rather get him out there, get this offense in a rhythm before Wisconsin next week. But anyway, top 4 receivers, I would say obviously Jackson. Before the season, I would have said Marvin Harrison, and then I would have put Julian Fleming ahead of Emeka Egbuka if healthy, just because I think he's your prototypical outside receiver and Emeka could be your backup slot behind Jackson. I would say now, having seen these first 2 games, Julian, I would even put Emeka ahead of Marvin Harrison, and then Julian Fleming. What do you think, Tim?
So you're putting Julian Fleming as the 4th right now?
Yeah, if everyone's healthy.
All right, yeah. Well, we can play that game. I still don't know for sure if Julian Fleming even went healthy, because we honestly haven't seen it. So I've got to be able to see something with my eyes. I mean, we hear a lot of great things, but football is a sport where you've got to have some good fortune with your health so you can actually go out there and perform. If you can't do that, I mean, what ultimately are you going to be? He's got to be able to put something on film, and I really hope so for the young man, because he's got an NFL future if he can do it. But so far, I think you've got to look at the fourth guy as being Xavier Johnson, and what a great story that has been. I mean, the three you said, obviously in no particular order, Jackson Smith and Jigba, Emeka Igbuka and Marvin Harrison Jr., without a doubt. I mean, Marvin just had the 3-touchdown game. I think a lot of people were banking big. Second guy ever to have.
Yeah, kid started 3 games. He's got 6 touchdowns in 2 of those.
Yep, second guy ever to have what? Multiple 3-touchdown games.
Yep, exactly. Yeah.
So that's brilliant stuff. We kind of knew with his athleticism, his size, his speed, what he'd been working on in the offseason, how every time we'd see a picture of the guy, he's just like chiseled by the Greek gods. So we knew that was coming for Marvin Harrison Jr. But for right now, currently, I'd like to, you know, give that fourth spot to Xavier Johnson, because he's earned it.
Yeah, that's fair. I think you can definitely, you know, he's definitely going to play more this season, even when everyone's healthy. He's part of that rotation. And we heard about him a lot. He just, you know, he didn't get on the field, and now he's at his opportunity. He may be the biggest benefactor of these injuries, because you knew Emeka Igbuka and Marvin Harrison were going to play. Maybe they got a little bit bigger roles because of these injuries, but they certainly were going to be out there. So Xavier Johnson has had his shot. And, you know, I mean, even if what he leaves Ohio State with, one touchdown, that touchdown being the game-winning touchdown against Notre Dame, even if this is a bad Notre Dame team this year, that's a memory he can talk about for the rest of his life as a former walk-on on this team. What a play to make.
100%. I mean, you said it, man. He doesn't, and I agree with you, I don't think he's done making impact plays, especially no matter what happens with the wide receivers. This guy is great on kick coverage. He's a great special teams player, and he might want to continue to invest a lot of time and effort into that, because you can play at a higher level if you can be an incredible special teamer. But yeah, man, to have that moment against that team, the go-ahead touchdown when you're trailing by a field goal late third quarter, somebody's got to step up and make a play. It had been difficult for the sputtering offense all night, and he's the guy to do it. I mean, that's honestly, right? I mean, you're telling the grandkids about that one day.
Yeah, and I mean, if you go back and really kind of look at it, it was a 3-play series. He had the catch before that. He had the touchdown. And then he had the tackle inside. I think it was inside the 15.
Inside the 15, close to the 10, where he brought that dude down. Yeah.
Most walk-ons do not have a 3-play series like that. This is not a question, but an interesting conversation. We could probably do a whole podcast on this, but Brad says he had a big debate at work. Most underrated player ever at Ohio State. He said JT Barrett, and then made the point that he is top 10 all time in total yards in college football history. I assume Brad's right here. I haven't fact checked this, but I know this is one you probably would need to go back and look and prepare for, but if you're just talking off the top of your head,
yeah,
underrated players in Ohio State history, JT Barrett's got to be up there. I mean, you know, I feel like he gets talked about for the negatives more often than he gets talked about for the positives when you talk to fans a lot of times.
Yeah, that is true. I guess it's all a matter of that is part of the debate in itself, right? Is would you consider JT Barrett as a guy that can qualify for being underrated because he's your all-time leading touchdown guy here at the school, and it's not even close when you look at total touchdowns. And as he writes in there, no, I did not know that. I did not know that right off the top of my head, but that's not surprising because you just don't see quarterbacks that are good enough to earn the QB1 job here at Ohio State so early on. And an injury had to happen for him to even get the opportunity so early on. So a special circumstance had to happen then for a door to open for these stats to even happen. And then B, he's not quite good enough, doesn't have the arm strength, the size, the stature to leave early to go into the NFL. And he exhausted his eligibility and he still wasn't drafted. So that I think is really just extremely rare. And it's what makes this season with CJ Stroud so interesting, because he's such a high level player and has a cannon for an arm, and he's just got so much rhythm and just this sense of smoothness to his game. He could possibly catch it. He'd have to go nuclear and go for 60 touchdowns. So he'd have to start spitting out 5 touchdown pass performances game after game. And with the Notre Dame game only having 2 touchdowns, dare I say he's off to a slow start, even with 6 touchdown passes through 2 games. But I don't know. I don't know if I'd call him underrated. A guy just popped in because I was watching him last night in the league. And I would say that he was underrated as a Buckeye, and he's still underrated as a pro. And that's Corey Linsley. And I don't know. I didn't know if you saw an update to his knee injury, but he didn't come back in the Thursday nighter. The Chiefs beat the Chargers, but he's been a friend of the Buckeye show and an all around good dude. And I think, I don't know what people's memories are, because he was kind of one of those transitional Tress guys to the Urban Meyer teams. And he left just before they won the national championship. And I think it was one of the Bourne brothers that centered that 2014 team. But man, Corey Linsley was a hell of a player. And I don't think he won the Remington Award, but he's been handsomely rewarded for his skills in the league, being Aaron Rodgers center. And at the time, he got the richest deal in NFL history for a center. And I think one of the last dudes might have just eclipsed that, but he's doing fine. People notice it. He just didn't get a lot of ink or talk.
Yeah. Well, you said you think he still might be a little underrated in the NFL, not by the people paying him. They recognize how good he is. The Chargers, that is. I just checked it. CJ Stroud, you mentioned only 6 touchdown passes. That's tied for 10th best in the country. So, you know, not too shabby.
Is it really? Okay.
Yeah. The most is Drake May at North Carolina. He's got 11. And 3 guys have 9, 5 or 6 have 7. So, you know, CJ's right there. I think he's going to be fine. Everybody's going to have that one game where they don't put up huge numbers. I mean, even Bryce Young, who won the Heisman last year, had that Auburn game where, he helped win it late, but he wasn't good in the game. You know, the numbers didn't look great afterwards. So I think CJ's in a good spot. Will he break that record? Probably not.
CJ didn't have what you could even call a bad game against Notre Dame. So
no.
You just look at what the plays he made look at the plays he made in the fourth quarter, the throws he was making on the run. He didn't have a turnover. So I'm sorry. I mean, like, Joe Burrow had a bad game.
Yeah.
Like, that was a shit game that he had. Like, that was. And I love how confident he is, too, because he can just brush it off. He can just move right past it. But 4 interceptions and a lost fumble, that's a bad game. CJ, you're not allowed to say that was a bad game from him, from Notre Dame. That was actually a good game from him.
Yeah. No, CJ actually said, look, I completed 71% of my passes.
Yeah, yeah.
He knows he did fine. He knows he has things to work on.
Yeah.
All right, Tim, let me ask you this before you get out of here. I wanted to ask Kyle this, but I didn't want to hold him too long. I thought he'd have an interesting perspective, but – These teams that Ohio State plays early in the non-conference, the non-marquee games, you saw it last week with Arkansas State, and you're going to see it a little bit with Toledo. The transfer portal has changed the game for those teams. I mean, they have so many guys that played Power 5 on that Arkansas State roster last week that I think you have to judge these games a little differently in my mind. Like, people were upset that, you know, they didn't beat Arkansas State by more, and I'm looking through the roster and, you know, their receiver who went off, was it Oregon State? I mean, I know he's undersized.
Yeah, but Champ.
Yeah, Champ Fleming. He's a good enough player to be playing at a program like that. And, you know, it didn't work out for one reason or another. Their quarterback played for 4 years at Florida State. This isn't, the MAC teams or whatever of old. I think we have to change our perspective on what we expect from Ohio State and other teams when they play these teams now, because the transfer portal has changed.
Yeah. Sorry, cut out on you at the last second. But yeah, to what you were talking about on the transfer portal, we talked about Dallas Gant already, and we know what a good player he is. Toledo's quarterback's a Toledo-made guy. So looking at Daquan Finn, he's stuck around the Rockets. But yeah, you will be able to look up and down the roster and find guys that have Power 5 experience. I mean, you know, talking about their Penn State transfer that Kyle was telling us about. It's a really talented defense, and you know. Probably a lot of the Ohio State fans that are listening in or watching this aren't going to go and pay too close attention to Toledo the rest of the year, but I might be curious to see what becomes of them. I kind of am always curious to see what becomes of Ohio State's opponents. They're at least worth checking the box score and finding out what they did win loss wise, because if they do become, like he said, a 9 or possibly a 10 win team, that's something that turns out to be not such a bad game on your schedule. As far as, you know, if you're going to schedule an Ohio MAC, you would theoretically like them to go on and have a good season and maybe win their division and show up in the MAC championship game in Detroit. But I'm with you, Pat. You know, I didn't know maybe 5 years ago if it would get to this point, you know, because you and I being big college basketball fans as well.
Yeah.
That affects that game in such a heavy way. I mean, a heavier than football, like because of how you can impact with just, you know, 2 or 3 players that jump onto your roster in the sport of basketball. And then those guys can take, you know, 27 to 32 minutes if they're big time players. And you go to a place like Loyola Chicago, maybe you're in a slightly lower conference, but I think you and I agree there's some great hoops being played in a lot of the conferences, not just the power leagues, but it could wind up slowly, but year by year, a little trickle effect to where some of these lower division, not in the lower division, but lower conference level football teams can do it too. I mean, and honestly, we've seen it. It's not like we don't see Marshall beat Notre Dame. You know, we don't see App State step up to a different division and float so quickly. That may be, you know, the bigger sign, you know, of what's going on out there and how many players are good football players that are looking for places to play, is that App State can jump up a division, even though they were a, you know, national championship program at the FCS level. They're not just competing, they're beating big time teams. And I'll be looking to see if James Madison, one of a Virginia school that I care about, can do that too, because they just jumped up from the FCS to FBS. They'll get to play App State here in a couple of weeks or so. But yeah, it's interesting, Pat. You got to be careful every time you go out, every single Saturday. And I think Ryan Day always has a great approach about that. He used that analogy this week about how, you know, just because, you know, you've got the greatest piano player in the world here, if I wind up catching him in a dive bar in New York or something, I'm not going to expect him to suck. I'm sure he's still going to play a pretty awesome little gig, you know, no matter who's out there, who's watching, or in Ohio State's case, no matter who the opponent is, go out there and play your game and put some points up. And the defense should have so much to be excited for about another game on the schedule before Big Ten play. They need some turnovers, man. Yeah. They need to go and get some takeaways. That should be a thing one for them to do.
Well, it's interesting because, it was either Ryan Day or Jim Knowles said it this week. If you do put too much stress on that, then you're trying to get takeaways and you can give up other things. But yeah, I mean, I think they've played well enough that they definitely should have had some turnovers at this point. There hasn't been like a clear one, like a dropped interception or a fumble that they just didn't get to yet either.
Right. So, yeah. You know, hasn't happened.
Right. So I think it'll come. I mean, I'm not worried about that. I think they're playing good defense.
Yeah, me too. If you don't give up touchdowns, that's fine too. Yeah. That's okay. No touchdowns given up. Start with that. I'll take that back. That's thing one. Don't give up touchdowns. Then if you're not going to do that, then you got to create some havoc and don't miss the opportunities. I think that's the key thing. If you have one that's right in your breadbasket, catch the football. Don't miss those easy opportunities to scoop a fumble or pick the ball off when it's right to you.
What's your score prediction tomorrow? How do you see this playing out?
I actually have them covering this one, right? It's time. And I'm no disrespect to Toledo, but I don't think that's too big of an ask for, you know, Ohio State to win this one by 35. I mean, that, and I'm giving up 3 points right there with the spread being at 32. So I can go with another 45 to 10. I think I'm going to lock that in right here with you right now. And we'll discuss it a little bit later on too, but
yeah,
45 to 10 Buckeyes win.
Yeah. I picked right at the spread. So I was right at 32 points. I think I said 47-15 or something like that. So a push technically, but that's just how it worked out when I was doing my very basic calculations. All right, Tim, go do what you need to do. I'll be on your show in a little while. If you're looking for more Buckeye talk with Tim and I, if this wasn't enough for you, I'll be on the Buckeye show later tonight. You can catch us on there. What time will that air? What time are we doing this?
We'll do this at about 6:13 or right. so, 6:14 tonight.
Time for
yeah. Break a little early because, of course, we got high school football coverage tonight. So we got a great game coming up for the people. Tyvus Powell and Maddie Andrews, big walnut game tonight. So it'll be awesome.
All right. Well, I won't drink too many of these before I get on, so I'll still I won't my words.
I just have my water cup here at work. Sad, right? But I am going, hey, Crooked Can tonight, about 6:45, right after the show. I'm heading straight out there, man.
You know that's one of my favorite spots. I wish I could join you, but I have to go to the Clippers game.
That's right. You got a friend singing the national anthem. How cool is that?
It should be pretty cool. I'm pretty excited about it. Excited for her. All right, get out of here. Get what you need to do. I'll talk to you in a little bit. Thanks again. I do appreciate you coming on, so I'm not just talking to myself the whole time. You certainly make this an easier podcast to do, and I think you had some good questions for Kyle. So I'll talk to you in a little bit.
Well, I'll be watching these last 10 or 12 minutes very closely to see how you do all by yourself.
All right. I appreciate that. Give me a grade later.
I will. It's already an F, buddy.
Sounds good.
No, you're an A. You're an easy A.
Well, that's quite a range there. All
right. It's a curve.
I'll talk to you later.
See you, bud.
All right, let's finish up here with some Buckeye specific talk. Obviously, we have this game against Toledo. We've talked a lot about that one, but looking ahead, Ohio State plays Wisconsin in a week. That's the start of Big Ten play, and I want to know if you're watching live here, how comfortable are you with this Buckeye team right now? Because you're going into Big Ten play, you got to be ready to go. Obviously, Ohio State is the favorite in the Big Ten. They'll be favorites in probably every single game they play. So are you confident, though, that this Buckeye team is ready for Big Ten football? And I am. I wouldn't put my confidence at a 10 out of 10. I do think that based on what I've seen across the Big Ten, the Buckeyes shouldn't have issues with any of these teams. But there are a few things I'm still looking at when you go into Big Ten play. One is the offensive line, and I want to see on Saturday against Toledo, I want to see holes open up for these running backs. It happens at times. It's just not happening enough for me. And I go back to the Notre Dame game, and I liked what we saw in the second half. I just want to see it consistently. I want these guys to be able to run 5 yards without getting touched. And I know that's asking a lot, but when you're playing a team like Arkansas State last week, when you're playing Toledo this week, that's the thing where I think you need to be blowing guys off the ball with this offensive line, who I think has done a really good job in pass coverage again, for pass protection again. I just want to see that this week, and then I will feel more comfortable going into a game next week from a Buckeye perspective against a team like Wisconsin. You know, down the road, you're playing Penn State, you're playing Michigan State, you're playing Michigan. I need to see this offensive line in the run game just be a bit more dominant. The other thing I want to see, and I think this is an obvious one, I want to see this offense at 100%. I want to see Jackson Smith and Jigba out there. I want to see Julian Fleming. If Cameron Babb is really part of this six-man rotation, as Brian Hartline has told us, I want to see him get out there and play if he's actually going to be able to you know, have a role on this team. I think that being able to have a game where you've got all your weapons, CJ Stroud can throw it to whoever. Ryan Day can call whatever play he wants in a playbook, even though you don't need to against a team like Toledo. I just want to see it happen to feel confident, because that Notre Dame game, Jackson Smith and Jigba, even before he got hurt or when he was coming back in, he didn't look the Jackson Smith and Jigba we expect. So I'd like to see this offense full go. And Tim touched on it before he jumped off. It's the turnovers for the defense. I think that's the other thing that I'm really looking for before you get into Big Ten play. I think you need to have those turnovers because, you know, that can change a big game. If you get in a dogfight, say, against Penn State, just using Penn State as an example, we've seen it before, that can change a game. I was really happy, speaking of game-changing plays, to see Emeka Egbuka return a punt for a touchdown last week. I know it didn't count. Two penalties, so even if Taraji Mitchell doesn't jump over the line there to try and block it, there was a holding penalty on it, I believe. But just to see Emeka Egbuka, that's another game-changing type of play. But to see him take one back, and if you missed it on Wednesday night, and Ryan Day talked about it on Thursday, Chip Trainum, the linebacker, the transfer from Arizona State, played running back at Arizona State. He's the guy back returning kicks. He was back there last week. That was Ekmeka Egbuka's situation. He moved out of that because he's doing punts now with Julian or with Jackson Smith and Jigba. So they are really high on Chip Traynham, a linebacker, but also a former running back returning kicks. So I'm going to be interested to see that. But those are the three things that I want to see on from Ohio State this week to make me feel comfortable. Josh Crystal Ross says he's an 8 out of 10 confident in Ohio State going into Big Ten play. I think that's pretty good. I think that if you to start conference play, especially against a Wisconsin team that while they will certainly present challenges and we'll get into that next week, but they aren't probably the juggernaut that maybe people thought they were, lost last week to Washington State. I think that you feel pretty good here. Mike says Brandon Allen looks like a monster, need linebackers to stop the run versus Wisconsin. Yeah, that's absolutely going to be key against the Badgers. And I'd like to see the Buckeye defense, you're going to face a team that's very different this week in Toledo with a mobile quarterback. He's their leading rusher. But if you can just keep those rushing yards down, I think you feel a lot better going in after that. Sue says we're only 40 on offense. I assume you mean in the national rankings. Yeah, I mean, you play Notre Dame week one. Yes, Notre Dame did lose to Marshall. We'll obviously, that plays a part in it. But you play a top team like that week one, I think your numbers are going to come down a little bit just because no preseason. You go out there, you lose Jackson Smith and Jigba, which I think was huge because of that game plan. I'm not too worried about this offense. As I've said plenty of times, I think they will get everything figured out. I thought last week was a really good sign for the passing game. The running game still put up numbers, even though it wasn't the cleanest situation. So I'm not worried about the offense. I think they'll be fine. Ryan Day has proven time and time again he can figure it out offensively, even if they have to do some different things. Darren Dorsey, really eager to see Chip return because the needed skill set Day feels is best, greatly different from mine. Different from mine, too. I am not your typical return guy either. But, yeah, I'm interested to see it. He didn't get a chance to return him last week just because of the touchbacks. They've talked about how athletic he is, Chip Traynham. It's the type of guy that they can do it, even though he is a linebacker and you usually don't see that. He's fast. He's strong. He's a guy who can break some tackles, make guys miss from everything we've heard. Ekmeka Egbuka was really talking him up. If you missed that, the video's on our site. I think that's going to be very interesting. And, it is unorthodox to have a linebacker back there, but I certainly think, they've done their homework. They're not just sticking a guy back there to stick it back there. They have plenty of guys that could return kicks, I imagine, with the receivers and the defensive backs that they've got on this team. So putting him back there, and he's a guy who could be in the game if somebody gets hurt. So we're certainly going to certainly hopeful to see him return kicks. Larry says, we're comparing this team that played in the Rose Bowl with a full season under their belt. We should compare them to the team after the Oregon game. I agree entirely. 2 weeks into the season is too early to compare a team like this Ohio State team to a team that's a finished product at the end of the year. I think that's spot on. I've used the comparison a couple times the last week or so. Think about 2014. Ohio State obviously loses to Virginia Tech in week two. Dropped to number 22. I think they were number 8 going into that game. No one's talking about the Buckeyes for most of the rest of that season. Really wasn't until that Michigan State win in East Lansing where the Buckeyes really got back on the national scene. People started talking about them again. Obviously, you know the rest of the story. Go on to win the Big Ten. Go on to win the national championship. Fast forward to 2015. 2 weeks into the season, Buckeyes are number 1. The talk was, this is maybe the best team ever, the best talent assembled, da-da-da-da-da, whatever you want to say. I mean, it might have been, but that team didn't even make the college football playoff. One loss, that Michigan State loss, kept them out of the playoffs. So, those are two examples of teams after week two where the narrative around the team did not fit this team at the end of the year. And I think that that's something to keep in mind when you're evaluating this. I talked to a number of different friends of mine who are diehard Buckeye fans, some of them more rational than others some of them are a little freaked out by these first two games. And first of all, ask teams around the country, ask Texas A&M, ask Notre Dame, even ask an Alabama who is 2-0, but had that scare against Texas. Ohio State is in a place where a lot of teams would like to be. 2 wins, pretty comfortable wins. I know the Notre Dame game, they're trailing at halftime, but I was never very concerned for Ohio State in that one. I thought a lot of things didn't go their way in that first half. They obviously went on to handle things. So, yeah, I think 2 weeks in, I'm fine with where the Buckeyes are at. I think it's too early to really make any sweeping evaluations on this team. They're just, you know, they're still a work in progress, especially with this defense. If this was a defense that was A, returning as many people as they were and had a defensive coordinator back and, you know, they were still making some of the mistakes they would, I would be a bit more concerned. But they're still installing things. They're still learning this defense. You know, it's only been one offseason. I mean, look at what, and granted it was different personnel, but look how long it took at Oklahoma State for this defense to be even as good as Ohio State's defense has been, at least statistically right now. So I think the Buckeyes are probably ahead of schedule there and you know, working to get better every week. I think with each passing week, they get more on film. They get more that they can break down. I think this defense is just going to get better. And, you know, you get a guy like Jackson Smith and Jigba added back into your offense, whether it's this week or next week or whenever. That's a pretty big player to have. And Ryan Day and some other guys have said this past week and the week before how big Jackson Smith and Jigba is for this offense, just because he can do so many things. You can play him on the outside. You can play him in the slot. It opens a lot of things up for them. And, you know, as good as Emeka Egbuka and Marvin Harrison have been, Jackson Smith and Jigba may be the best receiver in the country. So we'll see. I'm not concerned 2 weeks in. We'll end this here shortly. So if you have any other questions, get them in there. But Yakov 22, do you expect a near capacity crowd tomorrow? I don't know. I was actually pleasantly surprised with what the crowd was. I think it was 101,000 was the announced, 101,000 something was the announced attendance last week. Pretty good crowd for a noon game against Arkansas State. It got loud in there at times. I thought, I was surprised with that. Obviously, being a night game certainly helps this week. You know, it is Toledo, so, you know, I don't expect the Notre Dame atmosphere at all, but, you know, I think that you could definitely have a pretty good crowd. I think people are excited about this Buckeye team. I really do. And, you know, maybe playing an in-state opponent like Toledo too, you get people that, you know, grew up Ohio State fans but went to Toledo or from Toledo and Ohio State fans that are going to make the trip down that maybe wouldn't normally or something like that. So, yeah, I would expect a pretty good crowd for a game against, you know, a MAC opponent. Darren Dorsey here says, feels as long as OSU can stay out of short and goal, third and four, fourth and goal, they're not as good. Still not shown the ability to stop short power consistently. Yeah, I mean, they haven't really had the opportunity. Notre Dame did some of that, but Wisconsin's going to be their test there, right? Can this defense, handle that type of situation? We will see. I'm not sure that we can fairly evaluate this defense. I think you can look at the defense and say, okay, they're doing this, they're doing this. These are things they weren't doing last year. Guys are running the ball. For the most part, they're tackling. The penalties are still a problem, but most guys are turning their heads, making the right plays as in terms of defensive backs. You know, you can judge that. I think we'll really get a better sense once they start playing better opponents. I wish we could say Notre Dame was a good measuring stick, but it clearly doesn't look like it is. So we'll see what happens there. Yakov asked if I'm surprised that it won't be at least until Michigan State that Ohio State will play Big Noon on Fox. Yeah, a little bit, just because of how many times they've played Big Noon the past few years. I got pretty used to getting home at 6-7 o'clock after working in the press box instead of 2-3 in the morning like it's been two. Well, it will be three out of the first four games. That's what that's the tough part about being a beat writer here is you got to stay late when there's late games. But yeah, I mean, it, you know, we'll see on some of the games they could do. I don't have the schedule up in front of me, but yeah, it could be until Michigan State. Honestly, I hope Michigan State is a noon game because getting out of there later in the day is kind of a pain getting back to Columbus. Not a long drive, but not a fun drive either. So yeah, we're going to wrap it up here. I appreciate everyone tuning in that watch live. I appreciate those that are listening to the podcast after the fact. Kyle Rowland, appreciate him jumping on. I know he was busy. He was on a number of different podcasts, radio things this week in Columbus because he obviously has the connections back here to this Ohio State beat. So taking time to help us do this podcast. And Tim Hall stopping by. Another fun happy hour here with Bucknuts. If you haven't, we have a ton of coverage over on the site. Please go check that stuff out. Obviously, if you're into the recruiting and want some insider details on things, become a Bucknut subscriber. I promise you won't be disappointed with that. Stay tuned. This weekend, we'll have plenty of stuff. I still have a couple more stories before the game on Saturday. So I assume our other guys, Dave and Steve, have stuff coming as well. We'll have you covered throughout the game. Saturday night, Toledo, primetime on Fox at Ohio Stadium. I'm looking forward to it. I'm sure you guys are. Again, thank you. Like, subscribe, do all that good stuff. And cheers.
Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.
The hit Paramount Plus original docuseries returns.
The last time I saw Max, he looked at us laughing, and then everything changed in a blink of an eye.
My feeling as a detective is that he was murdered.
Yahoo Entertainment calls it a spine-chilling docuseries showcasing real-life tragedies.
What if it was your child who went missing?
We need to know the truth.
Never seen again. Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the flag.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You don't want to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown, new season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount+.